Outreach Mass, bringing Christ to mid-Michigan for 40 years.
Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
This morning here, we actually celebrated All Saints Day. We celebrate all the saints in heaven. And now this evening, we remember all the faithful departed. Earlier, we asked the Church Triumphant to pray for us. And now, we're reminded of the Church suffering in purgatory, and we're asked to pray for them. It's beautiful that we do it in that order. First, All Saints Day, and then All Souls Day. So we started with remembering the dead. We may run the risk of being hopeless. But before we remember the loss of our loved ones, we're reminded of the lives of the saints. And although they too are dead, they now live and reign with Christ in heaven forever. The saints give us hope. They give us the hope that heaven is possible. And because the truth is that it's not easy to get into heaven. Jesus says that the path to life is narrow, while the path to destruction is broad and wide. But the saints chose that narrow way. They chose the way himself, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. They placed their faith in Jesus. And because they lived that faith, the Lord has welcomed them into paradise. And just as when you see someone you know doing something difficult and doing it, it gives you hope that you can do it too. Just say, like, wow, maybe I can do that. I know it's been the case for me, especially journeying these past years in seminary with brothers who became priests, knowing some of their weaknesses, but seeing them make the sacrifice and live a joyful life as a priest, that gave me hope. That despite my own shortcomings, the Lord can use me. Maybe you can think of an example from your own life of someone that you know accomplishing something that gave you hope, gave you encouragement. That's what we have in the saints. Because of the saints who placed their faith in Christ, we have hope not only for ourselves, but for those who have gone before us. That even with their own weaknesses, their sins and their shortcomings, the Lord can make a way for them. In fact, they become purified from their faults through our prayers, as we ask the Lord to have mercy and to welcome them home. But the main difference of All Saints Day and All Souls Day is that first, we celebrate the saints who are in heaven now, and then we pray for those who just aren't there yet. But they will be after a period of purification, as we heard in our first reading. As gold in the furnace he proved them. Right? Only the holy can be in the presence of the holy. So the Lord purifies the souls of those who are preparing on their journey to be in his presence. Our readings today speak of that final victory, the victory that we do have in Christ, that we've been given a spirit of adoption, crying out, Abba, Father, and that we've been adopted by God the Father because God the Son became the Son of Man. Those of us who are children of men have this hope of being sons, children of God. And then if children, heirs, and inheriting heaven along with Jesus. And the second reading, St. Paul realizes that this is not yet the reality. We have this hope for heaven, for eternal life, but there's also this recognition of this groaning. He calls it the inexpressible groanings that we have awaiting the new heavens and the new earth. That's what we recognize today, that we have hope for heaven, but we're not there yet. That's why the widow that Jesus encounters in the gospel today, she was weeping. Weeping at the death of her son. And then Jesus, he's not afraid to take that step closer to death. He actually places his hand upon the coffin. And he says, do not weep. I think it's important to realize how Jesus was saying that. He wasn't saying, do not weep. It's silly. He wasn't saying it's silly that you're crying over your son. Or of course she was mourning over the loss of her son. And Jesus himself wept at the death of his own friend Lazarus. But he recognizes our human heart that weeps at the loss of those close to us. But Jesus says, do not weep, because he knows what he's about to do. It just says in the raising of Lazarus, he knew he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew he was about to raise her son from the dead. So he says, do not weep because of the hope for life, the hope of eternal life. So we have the opportunity now to pray for those who have gone before us. It's beautiful that we do that right here at Mass. The Mass is the most powerful prayer. That's why we have these candles lit right before the altar. It's a sign of those souls that we're lifting up to the Father, that they may be in his presence forever. And we do that in the sacrifice of the Mass and the Holy Eucharist, remembering Jesus' promise, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. It's Jesus' promise that is our hope for eternal life. So as we ourselves approach the Blessed Sacrament today, may we be filled with that hope for heaven, recognizing that we are pilgrims, we are not there yet, but we have been given a promise by the Son of God that he will raise us up on the last day.